We ought to praise Him and worship Him everywhere we go. As a child of God, we have so much to be thankful for. And, you know, I'm thankful for our president and the things they're trying to do to try to help the economy and all those things. But as a child of God, you need to realize our help comes from the Lord. And we don't need to be reliant on the government and those things. We need to just trust God. If God chooses to use the government or a grocery store or whatever, then thank God for it and praise Him and worship Him for it. But appreciate the message tonight, Brother Nick. And hopefully, Lord willing, we'll be back together sooner. Hopefully that worked for everybody and it was a blessing to you. I know it was a blessing to me to hear him preach. And looking forward to getting back together. And Lord willing, I'm going to be asking a few more men to do about a 10-minute devotion for us on Wednesday nights. And so we'll be asking a few more men to do that with us and try to engage them in the service. But take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. And we're going to continue tonight on our study on the home. We're going to go about 20 minutes or so here tonight and look at our study on the home. We're still dealing with the divine pattern for wives. God has a pattern for the home. He has an order for the home. And we've been going over this at our church for a long time, for several years on Wednesday nights. And going through, Brother Tab wrote a book, and that's the curriculum we're using. I'm just going through that book, and I know I've been studying. I'll add a few things to it. He's got good things, God's Blueprint for Home Builders. And so we're going through there, and it's been a tremendous blessing to our church. And so I appreciate God giving him the wisdom to write this thing and help us out. So we're going through here and studying this as our curriculum for our Bible study on Wednesday nights. And we're dealing with the divine pattern for wives. And we're dealing with a wife should submit to her husband. And this is an area that is unpopular in the day that we live in. And nobody wants to submit to anybody, really. The children do not want to submit to their parents. They don't want to submit to authority. Wives don't want to submit to their husbands. Husbands do not want to submit to their boss. They don't want to submit to a pastor, to a church. And in return, in all those situations, we find a generation that does not want to submit to God and His Word. And if you cannot find yourself obeying God's Word in your area of submission, whether it be to your parents or your wife or your boss, or your pastor, your church, then you will not be able to submit to Christ and obey Him in the ways that you should, because you're not getting number one right. Number one, responsibility, we all have a place. We all have a role. And if you have put yourself out of order, then you've messed up everything else down the line. You're going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt your family. So we've dealt with this for a while. We've got them recorded if anyone wants to go back and hear any of them. We spent a long time on the men. And so I don't know how long we'll be on the wives. Probably need to be twice as long as the men. I don't know, but we're going to be on here tonight for a few minutes. Proverbs chapter 31, I'm going to read verse number 10 down through the end of the chapter like we did last week. And we're looking at some things about this virtuous woman, looking at some things that God is pleased with in this virtuous woman, and asking the ladies of our church to compare their lives to the Bible, to this lady here, to see how they stack up to this lady that God said that He was pleased with, to this lady that blessed her husband and blessed God and the things that God's approved of. So Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 10, the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rubies?" And by stating who can find one and talking about her being far above rubies, it's saying that if you find a woman or a lady or wife that is meets the qualifications of this lady, then you found a rare thing. It's hard to find. And again, ladies, I said this last week, not only is it hard to find a lady that lives up to these, but it's hard to find a husband that lives up to God's Word as well. And so it's not just the ladies. There's people struggling everywhere. The Bible says in verse 11, "The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth forth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth it with a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not to the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And ladies, as we go through here, I'm asking that you look at this thing and look at this virtuous woman and compare some of the things that the Bible says about her to your life, just as we did with the husbands and walking through the Bible on some of the things God expects from a husband. And also, young ladies, I encourage, I know the young ladies we have in our church are real, real young. But that is the time to start to train them up to be the ladies that God will be pleased with at an early age. And there in verse number 30, it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. And I'm going to say amen to that. But a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. And so, young men, when you're looking for a wife and you're looking for a mate to spend the rest of your life with, I know that you want to be attracted to her, and I get that, but understand that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. And it's more than just the looks, but it's her heart. And whether or not it's somebody that fears the Lord and that God is pleased with. Because there's more to life. And mamas and daddies, do not raise your little girls to be beauty queens. Don't raise them and to be covered in makeup and jewelry and all about the beauty and vanity and all those kind of things. And you're raising them to give them the wrong idea of what life is about. You're raising them so that they think that they have to look a certain way in order to get the favor of a man or to have the favor of a job. And that is not what it ought to be. We ought to raise our children to please God, raise our children to follow the Bible and to please God and to obey their parents. And in return, God will give them favor. In return, God will bless them and God will send them the mate they ought to have. We have young ladies today that, they're growing up in a society where it is mandatory for them to be some kind of beauty queen. It's mandatory for them to look a certain way and to have a certain amount of makeup on and try to disguise what they really look like. And they do all these things, but they're taught they have to do that. And I want to tell you now that the Bible says over there in Ecclesiastes that vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. And that's the day that we live in today. But beauty is vain. And young men, I want to tell you that a beautiful face is not going to fill your belly. Amen. Like Brother Bowen said, I need to hear some amens. I don't know if anybody's amening out there. But a beautiful face is not going to raise your children right. And you might have a beautiful wife that's doing those things, and praise the Lord for it. Amen. If you're like me, have the best of both worlds. A beautiful wife that does do those things, and thank God for it. But what I'm trying to tell you is, these girls today that are being raised, and that their mothers and fathers are encouraging the vanity. They're encouraging the makeup. They're encouraging all the pictures and the profiles and the selfies and all those things. Most of those girls wouldn't know how to cook. They wouldn't know how to iron. They wouldn't know how to do anything because they've never been taught how to do it. And you know what that goes? Beauty is vain. Say, well, Dad, you don't realize how good she looks. Well, that's good, son. Can she cook? Amen. Because if not, you're going to be broke going to McDonald's. Your stimulus check will be gone quickly going out to eat because you can't get a meal cooked at home. Amen. I don't know how I got on that. I got to move on. All right, so this Bible talks about this woman here. And so there are some qualities, some attributes of this godly woman. And we started to go over those last week, so I'll just run down the list and then we'll pick up where I left off. So number one, she is ambitious. She's ambitious. If something needs to be done, she does it. She's not lazy. She's willing to work. She's willing to get the job done. She's willing to use her hands to bless and to help her family. She's kind. She's wise. She's trustworthy. That means her husband trusts her. We know here in verse number 11, it says the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. I know I've already preached to the men, so I don't want to keep going back to that. It ought to go both ways. They ought to trust one another. But wife, I want to ask you today that when your husband leaves and goes to work, for those that are staying at home, can your husband trust that you're doing right with the children? Can he trust that you're raising them in a way that pleases him and pleases God? If there's things that he doesn't want done, or shows that he doesn't want watched, or music that he doesn't want in the home, can he trust that when he leaves that those things will be honored in the home? Even if you do go work, especially if you work outside of the home, can your husband trust you? Can he trust that you're going to do right whenever temptation comes along, and whenever other ladies are talking about their husbands or other conversations are going on that are not right? Can he trust that you're going to do the right thing? Can he trust that? Can he trust that whenever she's talking to, whenever you're talking with other ladies, that you're not going to run him down? You say, well, you don't understand my husband. Yeah, but God does, and it's not your place to run him down to other people. It's not your place to run him down, especially back with your mom and dad, because they didn't marry him. And especially younger couples, and she goes and runs home and complains about him, and then daddy's getting a shotgun, they're going to go visit him. Hey, man, you're going to go back home to him. And so, I've heard so many ladies run their husbands down, and that's an awful thing to do. Man, if you want to talk, if you want to counsel about your husband, you need to do it with your husband, with the preacher, and get down and get with God and try to work the thing out. Don't go running around to ladies and running around on Facebook running your husband down. Amen. Even if he is doing those things and he's a sorry sucker. You know what I say, pray God kills him. Amen. Pray God kills him if you don't like him that much. Pray that God will get a hold of his heart. This woman here is a trustworthy. Her family can depend on her. And I know children right now, they do not want to know that their mother's going to discipline them or tell them no. At this, you know, especially if they're younger. But you know what? They need to know when they're older, my mom raised me right. Now, there was times where I didn't really like her too much because the way she disciplined me, or she told me, no, I couldn't talk to this friend, or no, I couldn't do this. But later on in life, they'll come back and say, thank you for doing that. Can your children trust that you're going to do the right thing, your husband? Not only that, but this woman is cheerful. We talked about even when she's knee deep in dishes, amen, scrubbing the floor and mad at her husband, everything else, she's still going to have a cheerful disposition because she gets to help her family. Amen. All right, so I'm going to pick up. That's where I left off. The virtuous woman here does all that she can to meet the needs of her household, of her husband, and her children. She's going to do whatever she can to take care of her home. And she's going to do it with the right attitude. You know what, I'm sad to say today that there's a lot of wives that forfeit their reward from God, their blessing from God, just simply because of their attitude in performing the role that God's given them to do. So what do you mean by that? She's to submit to her husband. She's to be a helpmeet. She's to raise her children under the direction of her husband. She's to care for that home. She's to care for the needs of the home there. And that is what God's given her to do. And there's too many wives and women that have a bad attitude in doing so. And in having a wrong heart and a bad attitude, you're forfeiting the blessings and the reward from God for doing what your duty is as a wife or as a mother. The same goes with the men, but we've already preached on the men for a while. This virtuous woman here, she is a God-fearing woman. What does that mean? That means that everything she does it to please God. She meets the needs of her husband and her children, and she does it to please God. And whatsoever you do, and all that you do, do it to please God. And that's what she does. She does it to try to please God. She loves God. She does not want to sin against Him. Amen. This virtuous woman, you read through here, you don't find her complaining one time. And the Bible says that she's, you know, even strengthening her arms. I mean, she's working out and she's cooking and she's cleaning and she's sowing and she's buying land. And man, she's doing all kinds of things. You don't see her complaining. And the reason she's doing all these things is so she could please her husband. So that she could please and take care of her house and her children. And thank God for this woman here, this great example. You know, the Bible says in Luke 18, verse 8, in the last half of the verse, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" And ladies, I'm going to apply that to you tonight and say, when God looks down, can He find faith? Can He find you being faithful? Can He find you doing the right thing? This woman here in Proverbs 31 is a God-fearing woman. Not only that, but she's above reproach. You say, what does that mean? It means that all the ladies in the church, none of the ladies in the church can point their finger at her and say that she's done something wrong. Amen? She lives a life even outside of church. She lives such a life where you can say, man, I can't find... You say, is she perfect? No, she's, no. Ask her husband. She's probably not perfect. Amen? But she's above reproach. That you're not going to be able to go out and say, well, you won't believe what I saw Sister So-and-so wearing out in public. Amen? You're not going to be able to say, you wouldn't believe what I saw her doing, or I saw her smoking or drinking or telling a dirty joke, or you wouldn't believe what I saw her listening to, or I rolled up next to her in the car and saw her listening to this whatever ungodly music or dressed a certain way or whatever the case might be. She's going to be above that reproach. She's going to maintain a good testimony. And she's not just doing it because to say, look at who I am, or look how godly and spiritual I am, like some women try to do. They try to live a certain way because they have an air about them of look how spiritual I am, and that's for the wrong reason too. But they do it not for that reason, not to say, look at me, not to say, look at how great I am, but they do it because they want to honor and represent their home and the God that they serve. They dress a certain way when they leave their home, and they listen to certain music, and they behave a certain way because they want to honor God and because they're representing their husband and their family. And so they do that. They make the sacrifices. Maybe they do things, wear things that they're not typically comfortable in, but they do it because they want to honor God. Because they want to cover their nakedness or whatever the case might be. And I'm not going to get into this right now, but whenever you expose your nakedness, you're exposing the nakedness that belongs to your husband. It doesn't belong to every man out there. It doesn't belong to everybody else's husband. When you reveal your chest or your legs or anything, or even wear the form-fitting clothes that allow men's imaginations to run wild, you're revealing things that belong to your husband. They do not belong to every pervert out there and every man. It belongs to your husband. So you ought to consider those things when you walk out of your home. You ought to say, am I dressed in a certain way that's going to honor my husband and honor my Lord? Amen? You don't want a man committing adultery with you. Now, I realize a pervert's a pervert. And it don't matter what you wear. If he's a pervert, he can do whatever he wants in his mind. But you're not giving him fuel for the mind. And so you need to honor God in that way. Be above reproach. Dress right, act right, speak right, listen right. Do those things that honor God. This woman here, she makes a life of joy for her husband and children. When you go into her home, it is a place of peace. Now, I understand if you've got children, it will be loud sometimes. Thank God for it. Amen. We've got a lot of little kids in our church. And whenever we're all here, man, it is wide open. There's kids up here, they're over there, they're all over the place. They're up here saying, Bible, amen, Lucas. Bible, and he's up here saying Bible, and we can't get him down, and I got to go get him out of the nursery to come amen me because nobody's helping me. And we got kids everywhere. Carson's being dropped on his head by his dad. There's all kind of things going on in our church. But guess what? The peace of God is here. And God's presence shows up. And it's the same way in the home. Amen. We've got three children and they're wide open. And they've not been allowed to go anywhere. They've not been allowed to go see other kids. And it's about to kill them that they can't play with other kids during this time of stay-at-home social distancing. But I'm telling you, if you have kids, it's going to be chaos sometimes. But there still can be peace and joy. Amen. There doesn't have to be misery and just being depressed and just... Have you ever walked into a home and you just felt the depression when you walked in the home? And the kids might have been acting wild, but it wasn't a peaceful wild. It was a full of the devil wild. There's a difference. But you can go into a home where the woman loves God and she wants to have a home that pleases God. And the kids might be playing all over the place and the house might be a little messy. You got kids, you're going to have a mess. And if you got a husband, you're going to have a mess sometimes. And you might have that. But yet you go in that home and there's joy and there's peace because it's a home that God's approved of and that God's pleased with. And you know what creates that environment? She does. She does. I said it when I first started this study. If you've heard it said, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. And you know what? There's some truth to that. Because if she has the bad attitude, nobody in that house is going to be happy. And husband, you cannot make her. I mean, you can physically make her do some things. But I'm telling you what, you can't make her heart be in the right place. Only God and her can figure that out. So you pray for her. But wife, you're going to control that environment. That's the home that God's given you. And you need to make that place full of joy and happiness. And man, what a pleasure to, while the kids are playing or while you're cleaning, to have some God-honoring music on and something that just brings the Spirit of God into the house. And man, have a place where your children feel safe and a place that your husband enjoys coming home to. And he can't wait to get there. And yes, it might be a little chaotic with the kids and all those things, but there's peace and joy there. And he just enjoys being there. Because there's joy and peace in the home. Her mission in life, her joy and her peace, if her heart is right with God, is going to have a home and make a joyful place for her husband to come home to and for her children. This woman in Proverbs 31, she did everything she could to have that kind of place for her husband, to help him, to be a helpmeet, to be a joy. Do you realize tonight, church, that the greatest joy you'll ever receive in this life is helping somebody else? It's helping somebody else. Do you know why we love the nursing home ministry so much? Because we go there to try to be a blessing to them. And every time we leave with smiles on our faces, some of us are tired, we don't feel like going. The weather might not be right. We might not feel that good. But we go to the nursing home and we do it anyway. And by the time we get done with the service, we leave with a smile on our face. And those people are grinning ear to ear. And we're thanking God that He just blessed us when all we were trying to do was be a blessing to them. Speaking of the nursing home, I'm going to put something in here real quick. Pray for Brother Floyd. He's still alive. He's on hospice. Amen. But he's still at the nursing home. Our church is going to send them cards. Sister Heitch is working on that. We're going to send every one of those folks at that nursing home a card to tell them that we love them and we're praying for them. And I hate that we can't go there. And I'm going to tell you, church, it's going to be a long time before we'll be allowed to go back to the nursing home. But if they ever let us get back together, we're going to go up and we're going to go have a service in their parking lot. We're going to set up some speakers and they can look out the window and see us. And try to be a blessing to them. But you pray for them. Well, I'm going back to this thing that one of the greatest joys in a Christian's life is doing something for somebody else. I mean, slipping somebody some money when they need it. Helping pay a bill for somebody else. Amen. Having the preacher over for lunch. Amen. What a blessing you'll receive. But that's some of the greatest happiness and joy you'll ever get. Galatians 6:7. Amen. You reap what you sow. Matthew 5, 7, Acts 20, 35, all those verses go together talking about if you want to reap happiness and you want to reap joy, then that's what you sow. And wives, you ought to do that for your families. And let me give you one more and I'll be finished. The virtuous woman here, she helps the poor and needy. What does that say about her? She cares about others. She cares about their well-being. And I know ladies, you know, that they care about certain things that men just don't care about. Are they, you know, I would be worried about some men if they cared about the same thing that women cared about. That would bother me. Amen. But women care about little things about somebody. I mean, they'll see the way that somebody's dressed or the way they act and it'll bother them. Amen. If they've got the right heart, I'm not talking about making fun of them. I'm talking about it'll bother them. They'll say, oh man, look, just would you look at that man? My heart breaks for him. You know, and the men are like, well, he had it coming. Bum, why don't he go get a job? We have no clue what that man's been through. Speaking of that, Brother Jeff, man, he's been helping a homeless man. He came across one the other day and tried to be an encouragement to him. And he just gave him bag full of food. And he gave him some waters and some Coca-Colas and Mountain Dews. And so that guy was grinning ear to ear. He told Brother Jeff a little bit of his story. Sometimes we see guys like that. And I realize there's some people that are just bums. They won't go work. I understand that. But sometimes it's real. Sometimes it's real. And so this woman here, she cares about the poor and needy. She's concerned about the future of others, about the plight of others. I mean, she's going to be willing to take food to help somebody. She's going to be willing to go buy groceries for somebody. She's going to be willing even to reach in her own pocket or reach in her husband's pocket when he leaves money in his pants. Amen. Or something. Go digging for his money. And she's going to go help somebody. She's just kind. She's kind and compassionate. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and we'll be finished. You're right there next to it. One book over. Should just be a few pages. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. This woman in Proverbs 31 is a remarkable woman. She's one that is hard to find. Her price is far above rubies. Look what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 in verse number 28. A man, if you think you're special, read this verse. Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 28. Which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand I have found. But a woman among all those have I not found. You know what's saying? That she's not even one in a thousand. How precious she is. You know what it is? She has a price that is far above rubies. She's a virtuous woman. No wonder that when the Bible says that when a man hath found a wife, the Bible says that he's found a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So husband, if you found that wife and she tries to please God. She's not perfect. Neither are you. Amen. She's more perfect than you are, probably. But if you found that, you found a good thing. And you know what? Not only that, but the Bible says you have obtained favor of the Lord because of her. And wife, do you want to be that woman? Do you want to be that lady that because of you, your husband found favor of God? I would think that you would if you had a heart to please the Lord. And so you pray. Husband and wife tonight.